So last week we started our new series called Character. It's based off the book that we're doing on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall for our Bible study. It's a little book called The Five Marks of a Methodist, written by Steve Harper. But Steve Harper wrote his book based off of the treatise written by John Wesley in 1742 called The Character of a Methodist. And so what he laid out is these are the characteristics that the people called Methodist should have. The first characteristic that a Methodist would have, according to John Wesley, is that a Methodist loves God. Before we go any further, I know some of you are thinking, but you know, I grew up in a different denomination and I may not be United Methodist, and that's okay. I want to remind you, when Wesley's using the word Methodist, he's not talking about a church or denomination. He's talking about a disciple of Christ who wants renewal and revival in their personal life and in the life of the church. So today's scripture is going to be found in Matthew chapter 22. We're going to read verses 34 through 38, and they can be found on page 804 in your pew Bibles. And I invite you to stand if you can in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel of our Lord this morning. Matthew 22, starting in verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment is the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So when asked what is a Methodist or who is a Methodist, John Wesley started his treatise by saying, "Who is a Methodist? According to your own account, I answer. A Methodist is one who has the love of God shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost given unto him. One who loves the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, and with all his strength." Have you ever stopped and thought about how often we use the word love in our society? I love my parents. I hope most of you do too. I even, believe it or not, love my sisters. I love my nieces and my nephews. Now, this is my list, so there's no judgment allowed. I love Hot and Now Krispy Kreme donuts. I brought some of my props with me. I couldn't bring all of them because if there were donuts here, we'd be in bad shape, but I love baseball, and I had to bring these two hats because this is my favorite team, and I love staying up late at night on the internet and watching, not one to brag, but the five players I'm connected to in the minors or major leagues. I like following them. I also love, and I'm hesitant to share this one, but I still love my other favorite team, even though they're embarrassing sometimes to talk about in public. I love chicken wings, especially dipped in good sauce. I love my kids. I love my wife. I love coffee. Amen. Some of you that know me know that I love studying the history and theology of John Wesley. Now notice I didn't bring any Greek textbooks with me. And I love Jesus. And my list and your list could probably go on and on, right? There's a lot of things that we love. So as I started thinking about making this list this week, a question came to mind, and maybe the lyrics will get stuck in your head like it is in mine, but what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with being a Methodist, a person who wants revival and renewal? And then another question. How can I say that I love Jesus and I love chicken wings? The same word, and hopefully not the same meaning. Much like the English language, in the Greek language, love is used in a variety of different ways. There's four main ways. I'm not going to share the words with you, but just the types. There's a family love. We all love most of the members of our family. Don't point at each other. There's a friendship love that we have with people. There's that being in love type of love. You know, that love that Stacy had for me as a high school girl and wouldn't leave me alone until I agreed to go on a date with her. Then there's this charitable, this sacrificial, this unconditional, self-giving kind of love called agape love. That's the love that God has for us. And we looked at that last week. That's how we started this series, that we couldn't even begin to understand how to love God unless we understood how much He loved us, and that nothing could separate us from His love for us. We see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it was one of Wesley's favorites, and he used it often, but he said, "We love because He loved us first." The God who first loved us long before we knew that He loved us. The God that sent His only Son to wash away our sins on the cross. The God whose Spirit lives and dwells in each of our hearts when we profess and become believers. But that same love, that agape love that God shares with us, calls us to love Him as we continue to walk deeper in our faith, deeper in our commitment to His church, deeper in our commitment to discipleship, and to walk in the ways that Christ walks. I want you to imagine for a minute being Peter sitting on the beach with Jesus. What does Jesus ask him? Y'all know I'll stand here till somebody answers. What does Jesus ask Peter at breakfast on the beach after His resurrection? Do you what? Do you love me? Do you love me? See, we can't do any of the ministry part of what our faith calls us to until we first answer the question, do you love me? Not the same love as all the other types of love, but a deep, unconditional, here's my life, take and do as you will kind of love for our Savior. In chapter 1 of his book, Five Marks of a Methodist, Steve Harper puts it this way. He says, there's no other starting point for life of faith or the journey of discipleship. Jesus has to ask us more than once, as He did Peter, because we are prone to wander away from this core reality. And even if we find ourselves saying that we do love God, the repeated question forces us to look beneath the surface of our response to see what was meant by it. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, what is the character of your heart? See, it's easy on Sunday to act like we love God, isn't it? We're here. We check our box off. We go on to lunch. Most people know we've been to church, so they know we love God. It's even easy on social media to share things and to present ourselves as these people who love God. But what if God is calling you? What if He's calling me? What if He's calling us to a deeper kind of love? That self-giving, unconditional, sacrificial kind of love. To love Him more and to trust Him more. Too many times I think we want that hot now kind of love. I'm talking about the donuts. You know, you see that sign and it's boom, there it is, and the car just automatically steers in there. My car's not the only one that does that, right? By the way, they're not sponsoring this service, but they have a new Reese's donut out. It's worth going to try. You can only buy three at a time, and my wife wouldn't send our 5-year-old in with a $10 bill to buy three more. So they're good. Okay? Back to the sermon. But we want that kind of love, that instantaneous, what can we get from it kind of love. And maybe you're asking yourself, and I thought about this week, have you ever tried to love God more? You ever tried your best to love God more? I don't know about for you or for any of y'all, but it never works for me. Steve Harper also says this, the love of God is the goal to which we aspire, and it is the means by which we reach it. A disciple loves God. See, the best way to love God more is to grow in your understanding of how much He loves you. E. Stanley Jones says, I'm grateful I do not have to love. I have to allow love to love me into loving. So what's love got to do with it? Church has got everything to do with it. Because we know and we have the evidence of how much God loves us, and now we're called to that same deep sacrificial love with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. We've already proclaimed this in the invitation to Holy Communion this morning, but it says, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And I love the next phrase, that proves God's love towards us. And then in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. We see His love for us in the table that we're about to gather at. A love so deep, so strong that it allowed His body to be broken and His blood to be shed for all of us. So today, I know we say these phrases and we go through them by memory because we've been doing it for so many years, but I want you to slow down and I want you to feel and experience the amount of love that is present at the table this morning. The amount of love that cost our Savior His life. The amount of love that God had to send Him to us to raise Him from the dead and to send His Holy Spirit to be with us forever. Let's pray.